From Wall Street to your street and Washington, too. Listen to podcasts from the Wall Street Journal and get the world delivered to your ears. Look for us on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and the Google Play Music app. WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously.
Assessing the markets and the economy going forward in a moment.
This is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome to Your Money Matters. I'm Charlie Turner in New York. All three major U.S. averages shot to record highs this past week, indicating that investors remain optimistic about stocks and the economy. Is this as good as it's going to get for stocks? And how should we view the economy, which has presented us with a mixed bag of data? Joining us is Brent Schuette, Chief Investment Strategist at Northwestern Mutual Wealth Management Company. Brent, it looks like investors have caught the spirit of the Olympic Games in Rio. The Dow, NASDAQ, and S&P all went for the gold and hit record highs this past week, first time since 1999. Are the markets poised for more gains?
We think so. I think it's reasonable to expect that they will move higher because we have a positive economic outlook. But if you look at where current valuations are, I think going forward, at least in the U.S., it's reasonable to expect lower returns than what we've had in the past, at least the past few years. And so I guess the short answer is yes. The longer answer is that the gains will be probably more muted than what they have been, at least in the past, 3, 4, 5 years.
That's likely going to be the case for the rest of the year?
Yeah, we think so. If you look out right now, stocks are trading in the U.S. at around 20 times earnings. Certainly, if you look at different measures, they aren't as expensive. But the gains that you should expect going forward from a valuation standpoint would be probably less than what you've had in the past, just because we've already discounted some of the better economic data that we believe is coming.
Right. The economy's been looking pretty mixed. Slow growth, strong job expansion, and we just got a report saying retail sales were flat in July. What do you see ahead for the U.S. economy? More of the same, this mixed performance?
Well, I guess the one data which came out, the retail sales number, was somewhat disappointing. But I think to have a better, fundamental outlook on the U.S., you need to take a deeper dive into actually what the consumer looks like. And if you look at the consumer overall, they've paid down some of their debt over the past few years. Low interest rates have combined to make it so their disposable personal income, the expenses that come out of that, are pretty low. And now they're starting to get wage increases. And so that kind of combination would lead to, more gains in the future for consumer-led growth. The other side of the equation, the manufacturing side, which has been weak because of the oil shock, is now starting to recover. And so you have those two things now moving together for the first time in a couple of years, a stronger consumer and potentially a better manufacturing sector. And one would expect the U.S. economy to continue moving forward over the next, 3, 6, 9, 12 months plus.
That probably leads to my next question. Are you looking for a pickup in earnings? Results for S&P companies have been down, I guess, between 2 and 3% for the second quarter. That's not as bad as expected.
A lot of the earnings decline has been from the aforementioned oil shock. And so if you look at what's happened and you look underneath, we can take a look at, for example, NIPA corporate profits, which is a little bit broader than the S&P 500. And if you look at that, a lot of the downturn in earnings, at least I believe about 60% of that, was because of a small little sector. I believe it was chemical and petroleum products. And so this small sector had a huge impact on the earnings of the overall U.S. economy. And now with oil stabilizing, that is set to wane. And that's kind of across the whole economy from the economic outlook, perspective. From the retail, from the profit expectations, and even from inflation. The oil shock that hit starting in 2014 is now waning, and that would lead to even potentially higher inflation in the future.
In the more immediate future, what should investors look for this week?
I think the most important data point this week will be CPI. Certainly people have kind of shrugged that off and looked at the Fed's other, more favored, at least in recent years, inflation measure of PCE. But the CPI still is a pretty good indicator of the overall inflationary pressures in the U.S. economy. If we're right in our forecast that inflation will tick higher over the next few months, one would expect that to be, a pretty important data point. And it'll be interesting to see how, for example, fixed income handles that and how, for example, even equities handle that, because potentially, over the past few months, we've stopped talking about the Fed so much. But they come back into the picture towards year end, and that could, upset the market somewhat.
I want to read to you something that I believe you said about fiscal policymakers likely to do more. You said society's growing impatience with slower economic growth has led to increasing frustration with globalization and world trade. Fiscal policymakers will likely attempt to, quote, do more to help monetary policy quicken the pace of economic growth, particularly in the eurozone. By fiscal policymakers, are you talking about Congress?
Yeah, I mean, if you look around the globe, I mean, in Canada, for example, they elected a government based upon spending more money on the fiscal side. If you look at Japan, what's happening right now with Abe, they are actually doing fiscal policy, fiscal stimulus. If you look at the two candidates in the U.S., both of them are talking about potentially spending more money on infrastructure. And if you look in the Eurozone, for example, Portugal and Spain were two countries that have abused the EU budget rules, and so they've gone above the 3% debt to GDP. And there was a belief this year that they would be fined for what they did. They did not. They did not get fined, and the ECB kind of turned their head the other way. And so right now, monetary policy is maybe coming towards, at least not an end because there's more that they can do, but certainly now fiscal policy appears to be one more lever that we're going to pull to try to get the world economy moving again.
So do you think Congress is likely to end its gridlock with the executive branch and, do something? I suppose it depends on who gets elected.
Right. It's going to be, that's going to be interesting, right? It's going to be who gets elected and who has control of, the House and the Senate. But certainly there does appear to be a desire to spend more from the standpoint of fiscal policy. And even if you just look over the past few years and you take a look over the last 3 or 4 years, we did have a huge drawdown in the U.S. government. Certainly it's from higher levels, but government subtracted from GDP for the past few years. Even, notwithstanding the comments that I've made on fiscal policy in the future, it is now not subtracting any longer. And so just that alone should help push, all else being equal, GDP higher in the coming year or so, because now the government is no longer drawing down.
One more thing, Brent Schutte, your view on interest rates. Do you believe there will be a rate hike coming in September or December?
That's the big question, right? I guess, the one thing on the Fed policy right now, two things. One thing is that we're not going to know. It seems this Fed is intent on not becoming what Greenspan's Fed was back in 2004, where they promised 25 basis points, essentially a meeting, and they did so, I believe, 17 times in a row. This Fed appears to be more shorter term in nature and appears to be more willing to kind of have each meeting be different. And so whether it's September or December, I think the market's going to be guessing up until the very end, and I think that keeps volatility high in the future. One of the fears that we have is that eventually this Fed gets behind the curve. Now, they've intentionally said they're going to, but I think one thing that people are missing in the future would be that if this isn't kind of a secular type of deflationary environment, the Fed may get behind the curve and have to raise rates faster in the future, and that may be something that people have to worry about next year and into the following year.
And we may get an idea of what they might do because, as mentioned before, the Fed minutes from the last meeting will be released this week.
Yeah, and in the Fed, in the future, it's reasonable to expect that there's going to be more polarization. We had a dissent last meeting, I believe, and there may be more future dissents because certainly, it's kind of an uncertain world where the Fed's at right now, and there are people who believe they should be tightening and people who actually believe they should be even cutting rates. And so that, will serve as to increase market volatility even in the coming months and years.
Brent Schutte, Chief Investment Strategist at Northwestern Mutual Wealth Management Company. Thank you very much for being on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
And that's this edition of Your Money Matters. Thank you for listening. I'm Charlie Turner at the News Desk in New York.
For more podcasts, check us out at wsj.com/podcasts. Become a subscriber on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and now look for us on the Google Play Music app on Android devices.